thank you very much. I'm Bernard Joins. And for the next few moments, we'll be discussing a subject that I'm sure that all of us have heard someone say, are you bound to do it? In our conversation, we often say about another, you know, he's just bound to do it. What do we mean by such an expression? In what sense do we think a person is bound to do a certain thing? This is but our prediction of the course we feel sure he will take. Now, whether we're right or wrong in such predictions, what gives us the idea that he's bound? Do you think that he has been overpowered, that he's forced or compelled, and that because he couldn't help himself, he was so bound? There is a sense in which a person can be bound to do certain things. And he might be bound by habit, by the law of average, by custom, just by routine, and by circumstances, by obligation, or even by duty. But while he might be bound by any one of these, he can never be bound against his own will. Solomon once said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1 and verse 10. Man allows himself to be bound. One might feel compelled to act in such a way, or he might say he did it against his will, but before doing it, he would have to give his consent. And Jesus said to some, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, in Matthew 26:41. While that's often the case, still man allows himself to submit. A man often allows his spirit to submit to his body rather than making his body submit to his spirit. There are several passages that could be considered, but let's consider this one. Jesus said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house, in Mark 3 and verse 27. Notice this very carefully. Before one can enter into another's house and spoil the goods of his house, he must first bind that man. Otherwise, he couldn't spoil his goods. And this calls for a struggle in which one seeks to overpower the other. And the way one overpowers the other is by binding him. In like manner, Satan cannot enter a strong man's heart and spoil his good except he first bind that man, and then he will spoil the good of his heart. This calls for a struggle in which Satan seeks to overpower you. And the only way he can do it is by first binding you. The Bible speaks of a sense in which Satan himself is bound. But the Bible also speaks of a sense in which Satan binds us. You don't have to be bound by Satan. You are not a puppet in Satan's hands or on the strings that he controls, unless you consent to be. And you can keep Satan from binding you. Satan is trying hard to bind you that he may overpower you, but you will decide whether or not he does it. Now, the sense in which the word bind is used, we need to take a look at that and see how the Bible uses it. As we observe other passages in which the same word is word bind is used, that we may see in what sense Satan is trying to overpower us. The word simply means to tie or fasten. It is used in Matthew 13:30 with reference to the binding of tares in a bundle. As a farmer would tie, bind, fasten, or wrap tares, that he might handle the bundles with greater advantage. And Satan seeks to bind, tie, fasten, or wrap us, that he may handle us with greater advantage. In Matthew 21:2, the word bind is used with reference to the tying of an animal. As a man would tie or fasten or bind an animal so that he might lead him about, Satan seeks to bind, tie, time and he may lead us about. In fact, Satan would like to make of us nothing but brute beasts, as suggested in Jude verse 10. The word is used again in John 11:44, and this time with reference to the wrapping or binding of a dead body. As a dead body is bound or wrapped for burial, Satan is trying to bind us so as though we were dead to Christ, not alive in Christ. And this same word bind is also used with reference to captives. And the Bible says that John the Baptist was bound by Herod in Matthew 14 and verse 3. The Bible says that Christ was bound by the chief priests and elders in Matthew 27 and verse 2. Now, before his conversion, Saul was trying to bind men and women and commit them to prison, Acts 9 and verse 2. After his conversion, he himself was bound on more than one occasion, Acts 22:29, Colossians 4:3, and Acts 21 and verse 33. Peter was bound with two chains, Acts 12 and verse 6. In the same sense, captives are bound and controlled. Satan would like to make captives of us that he might control us. And the Apostle Paul was well aware of this, for he said, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, in Romans 7 and verse 23. Now, the only way we can be made captives of Satan is by permitting our spirits, our wills, our minds to be bound by him. Now, Satan tries to bind us in various ways. Just remember that no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, Satan cannot enter into a strong man's heart and spoil the good of his heart except he first bind that man's heart. Satan wants to enter your heart and spoil the good of it, but you will determine whether or not he does. As Paul suggested in Romans 7:23, Satan will either bring us into captivity to the law of sin, which is in our members, or, as suggested in 2 Corinthians 10:5, you and I will bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In Luke 13:11-16, reference is made to a woman whom Satan had bound. In this case, he had bound her with a disease. In our case, Satan is trying to bind us not with a disease of the body, but with a disease of the heart and the soul. He cannot make captives of us by merely binding our bodies alone. We are made his captives only when our heart and soul are bound by him. Therefore, fear not him who can destroy the body, but after that has no more that he can do, but rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. In Matthew 10 and verse 28. Now, the word bind about which we're studying is used in Revelation 9 verse 14 with reference to the tying with chains. In a figurative sense, there are chains with which Satan is trying to bind us. There is the chain of lust. Satan tried to bind Jesus with this chain, but failed. First, he tried to bind him with the lust for food, and some can easily, are so easily bound with this chain. But Solomon said, for a piece of bread will a man transgress, in Proverbs 28 and verse 21. While many would permit Satan to bind them with this chain, Jesus refused to be bound, and his answer to Satan was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, in Matthew 4, verse 4. Satan next tried to bind Jesus with the lust for fame. He set Jesus upon a pinnacle of the temple and suggested how famous he could become if he would cast himself down without hurt. Many have been bound with this chain of Satan, but not Jesus. And the Lord says to us, be not desirous of vain glory. Galatians 5 and verse 26. Now Satan made another attempt to bind Jesus, and this time he tried to tempt him with the lust for fortune. He took Jesus upon a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and promised to give them to Jesus if he would but fall down and worship him. And such would appeal greatly to so many people today. Most Jews have permitted Satan to bind them with the lust for fortune, but not Christ. Being aware of Satan's attempt, Jesus says to us, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what doth it profit him? In Mark 8, verses 36 and 37. Now notice the tactics used to overpower Christ. He tried to bind him with the chains of lust, lust for food, lust for fame, and lust for fortune. He knew that he could not enter into Christ's heart and spoil the good of his heart except he first could bind him. And he was not able to bind him and therefore was not able to overpower him. Now the chains of lust are still being used to bind men and women today. Oftentimes he succeeds, as Satan was able to bind David with lust for a woman, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and Judas permitted Satan to bind him with lust for money, Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Diotrephes permitted Satan to bind him with lust for preeminence, 3 John verse 9. Lust is not the only chain that Satan uses to bind people. He binds many with the chains of pride. Pride will keep one from becoming a Christian, and hence will enable Satan to empower him. And he can overpower any individual who permits him to have his way. And only the poor in spirit have the promise of the Lord's kingdom, in Matthew 5 and verse 3. There can be no conversion without humility. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 3. Don't let Satan overcome you by binding you with a chain of pride. For the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 16 and 18. But Satan binds some with the chains of prejudice. Prejudice is a strong chain, for it makes people set in their ways, complacent, and keeps them from learning more about what God would want them to do. Prejudice makes people one-sided and blinds them both to their faults and to their responsibilities before God. Thousands have permitted themselves to be bound with this chain, and as a result has never become the people God wants them to be. And some people are not open to investigation, suggestions, or even discussions about their religious status. They are satisfied and have let Satan overpower them. Satan binds people with the chains of stubbornness. He binds some with the chains of greed and covetousness. He binds with the chains of worldly cares, the chains of fear, the chains of popular sentiment, social prestige, the chains of jealousy and envy. Satan binds with the chains of hypocrisy, the chains of inconsistency, and the insincerity. He uses every chain possible to bind people that he may overpower them. How can we keep Satan from binding us? I think we've given you enough scripture to show that he can if you let him. But as already mentioned, Satan cannot bind us without our consent. We will determine whether or not he enters into our hearts and spoils the goods of our heart. And we permit ourselves to become prejudiced, or let our hearts be filled with lust, or to become proud, stubborn, hypocritical, and so forth. Since we must give our consent before Satan can bind us, then we must put up a resistance. In fact, James 4, verse 7 reveals to us that we are to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Peter tells us to resist him steadfastly in the faith in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. This calls for a real fight. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. Beloved, we will either be at war with God or at war with the devil. Now, it'll be one or the other. And Jesus makes it clear that we cannot be for him and against him at the same time. We cannot be at peace with God without waging war against the devil. On the other hand, we cannot be at peace with the devil without waging war against God. To win the war against Satan, we must not only be strong, but we must be stronger than he is. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, Paul said in Ephesians 6 and verse 10. There is strength in the Lord, and we need to turn to the Lord for the help that we need. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, in Philippians 4 and verse 13. He also said that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, in Romans 8 and verse 17, or rather 37. May I suggest then that when Satan knocks at your door, you let Christ answer the door. You can do this by being aware of Satan's devices, as suggested in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, and relying upon the Lord to help to help you not to be bound by any of these devices. And if you would fight the good fight of faith, thus win in the war against Satan, you must turn to the Bible. For faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. In the Bible, we have this promise from God. God is faithful, who will not permit you or suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. What more could we want? What more could we ask of God than that which he has already promised? But how can we break the hold Satan already has on us? And he does have some hold on most of us, if not all of us. Suppose we have permitted Satan to bind us just a little. Can we break that hold which he has on us? Indeed, we can. But again, we must turn to the Bible. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." John 8 and verse 32. God's truth can free us from the hold that Satan has on us. And the Bible says, as it goes on, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. John 8 and verse 36. It is through the word of the Lord that we are called upon to enjoy that liberty, that freedom. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Only the Lord can set us free. Christ is able to capture those who have been captured by Satan, Ephesians 4 and 8. And Paul said, "But I will follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus." Philippians 3 and verse 12. He permitted Christ to apprehend or to lay hold upon him and thus rescue him from the captivity of sin. Yes, Christ can set you free. God once asked the question of Adam, "Where art thou?" We remember that question in Genesis 1 and verse 9, or rather 3 and verse 9, don't we? Adam had sinned and was trying to hide himself. God knew where he was, but it was doubtful that Adam fully realized where he stood in the presence of God. And God knows where you and I are. But it is doubtful that many of us are fully aware of where we are with reference to our relationship to God. God once said to some, "I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." Revelation 2 and verse 13. Now the Lord could say that very thing to many, many people today. Some are dwelling where Satan's seat is. they have permitted Satan to bind them. But the question is, what about you? Has it ever dawned upon you that you might have permitted Satan to bind and overpower you? If you haven't taken the matter of your soul salvation seriously, then you have permitted Satan to bind you with indifference. And if you are satisfied with where you stand, and you're not willing to investigate to see for sure whether or not you are definitely pleasing to the Lord, then you permitted Satan to bind you with prejudice. Oh, how many people in the religious world are prejudiced today, not accepting fully what God has said, but maybe partially. And if you are unacquainted with what God has said constitutes a Christian, then you have permitted Satan to bind you with ignorance. And if you have not become a Christian, but intend to do so someday, you have permitted Satan to bind you with procrastination. One of the devil's greatest wiles is to wait a while. Don't let Satan bind you with any chain. Remember, he can never enter into your heart and spoil your good that you have unless he first binds you, and then will spoil the good of your heart. Why not decide this very moment, right now, that you're going to become a child of God? Why not study the Bible and come to believe all that the Bible teaches? Not some of it, part of it, but all of it. And why not right now repent of your sins, make an about face, turn to the Lord, confess before men that Jesus is the Christ, and then be baptized into Him as the Bible teaches? Why not go all the way in pleasing the Lord so that Satan cannot, so he won't have a chance to overpower your life? In Christ, you can be a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. It is by baptism that one comes into Christ, and that's the only way you can get into Christ. Romans 6:3 and Galatians 3:27. It is then that sins are washed away. Acts 22:16. It is then one is made free from the bondage of sin and set at liberty in Christ. Unless we keep Satan from binding us in this life, we will be kept bound with him throughout all eternity in the life that is to come. Are you free from Satan? You can only be free in Christ. Why not obey the Lord's will today and be saved? Thank you for listening to the broadcast.